Today is a special Sunday. We have some special guests. I hate even calling them guests. Special friends that are back with us this morning. Many of you have heard me tell the story almost ad nauseum about this lady who called me out of the crowd and found me hiding and told me one day I would stand in front of thousands of people. And well, that lady is here, and along with her husband Gordon. It's been 17 years since I saw Gordon. The last time I think that I saw him, we were traveling through Zimbabwe and Kenya together, Angela and I. They had invited us to come with them. And I knew Rachel well, and I knew how strong she was and intense and passionate. And it's awesome on a Sunday service, but it's not so much fun in a car. And Angela and I were many times, the word we heard, I think, the most was, Gordon, 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 all over Africa. There was a big debate whether the best way to go over the African speed bumps were to slow down or whether to speed up and just sort of ramp over them. And the whole time we were traveling, Gordon, every time he looked at Rachel, it was darling this, sweetie that. I thought, this man is incredible. This man is incredible. What grace. And so I'm telling you, Gordon, you don't know it, but you had a real impact on my life just in the way you carried yourself. We're not going to hear from Gordon today. We're going to hear from him at camp, but he's a wonderful man. But Rachel is here to share something with us. And before she comes, I just want to say this to you. There are certain people that God brings into your life that aren't like anybody else. And there are certain preachers that carry something that aren't like anybody else. And in Harvest City Church's history and in my history, God has used Rachel in a way that I don't know anybody else has been used from outside in our church. Her name is on the document for when we took this building, signed it, because of the kind of role that she played. A lot of what we're doing as a church and a lot of what I'm doing is a direct result of Rachel's impartation. When I was in Africa with Rachel in Zimbabwe, I'll never forget this. There was a tent meeting. Thousands of people were there, and I so badly wanted to preach, but I was too young, and nobody knew me, so I was sort of banished to the outside. And Rachel was preaching one night, and it was a salvation sort of message, and hundreds came forward to receive Christ, and I was standing and watching this. And somehow in the middle of that, she thought of me. And she pointed at me and she said, come. And I didn't know what she was doing. It was right in the middle of the altar call. And she held my hand and she said, look at these faces. Look at these black African faces. I want you to see it from my perspective. I want you to dream. I tell you, Rachel, I've now seen it. I've seen it. But I tell you that story because there was an impartation that got into me. And I believe this morning that God has brought Rachel here to us for a particular reason. I said this to her in the prayer. This is not just an add-on to camp. I believe that God has brought Rachel here this morning to impart something to us. It's the grace that she carries. Is the grace that God has asked her to carry for our church, I believe. And so I want us to have hearts that are ready to receive as we welcome Rachel to come to the stage this morning. God is going to do something here today. Rachel, I love you.
Bless you. So I'm the girl who can be naughty, but I can be nice. So I've come from Oxford, England. I've got a PowerPoint, I believe, if I can have that up. Because you see, Jesus has got something he wants me to agitate. Gordon and I have got two wonderful children. This is David, our son, with Jenny, and little Annabelle, Jeremy, and Margot in Tum. So three little grandchildren. Those are my English or our English family. And the next slide. This is Nicola, our big girl. She's 35, married to Tim Douglas. And that is Leela, Cooper, and Alani, our three Australian grandchildren. Because she married an Aussie and lives in Melbourne, Australia. And they're the Hillsong pastors for Melbourne. They have 17 services every Sunday. West Campus, Greater West Campus, East Campus, City Central. And Nicola is the campus pastor of City Central. And she dares 911-357. And God has blessed them phenomenally. My boy is part of church, loves the house of God, but he loves actually coming alongside in the business acumen. And so he's right there, changing wealth management. He has a heart to change the whole of the banking system to become a philanthropic movement to raise up outstanding people to reverse every curse of a love of money and see how many of you need more money for the dream you're carrying. Oh, then you're very poor dreamers. How many of you need more money for the dream you're carrying? In Jesus' name. So that's our wonderful kids. As I preach today, I wonder how many of you in this house need a touch from God in some area of your life, if you're honest. Maybe he needs to touch your physical body. I'll be honest with you, I got on a plane having left a catalogue of many pressures, including myself just being referred to a hospital because they found a suspect lump. And I'm standing here and saying, no, in Jesus' name, I believe of a God of a good report. Amen? You see, we can very quickly get distracted by the enemy's onslaught. I believe this year has been an intense year of health, of finance, of relationship for many people. How many would say that's true in my world? But right now, right here, in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, Jesus has brought me out of Oxford, a Reformation city, a city that takes change with sacrifice. And he's got a word for you. And he woke me up very clearly with this word. And so I expect you to work with me. So read it from the screen. 1, 2, 3. Come to me. So read it one more time. Come to me. And I want us to read Matthew chapter 11 from verse 28. And I want you all to read it as if you've had treble espresso coffee, fully leaded, and you're on the go. So 1, 2, 3. Then Jesus said, come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give to you is light. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that you will do a transformation in this house. I thank you that you are going to give us rest in those places where we are feeling anxious, overwhelmed, overcome. I pray that you will do what Jesus does and you will literally delete the enemy's plan in our lives, open our eyes and help us see what you are seeing for our future and for our present. Father, we will not allow our past to define our tomorrow. And in the precious name of Jesus, we put a stop sign and we say, no, let us go for the purposes of God. And we pray this in that incredible name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to just literally go through this scripture. The first word is come. The word come. It's such a simple word, but it's amazing how difficult it is to obey. How many parents of under fives have we got? Give me a wave. I'm a granny of nearly five, six on the way. And it's amazing. Come. You have this nervous thing, maybe even more as grandparents, as you're getting out the car and you think, now come on, Jeremy, listen to granny now. Jeremy, come. Are you trained? Are you not? Where are you going to go, my boy? Come. Simple, but hard to obey. You see, that word come, it requires a choice. It requires a decision. It then requires an action, and then it requires movement from you. It's not enough just to process the nice idea of come. You've got to go on a journey with that word. Come on, child, come. As you get older, the word gets more challenging, as I've discovered. Next slide, please. You see, in my world, I have an old boy, not Gordon, my dog. And you see, he is the other man, Great Chocolate. Dibley is his name, D-I-B-L-E-Y. And we have a program called Vicar of Dibley. Gordon was the vicar of St. Albates, and he is the vicar of Dibley, and he wears the dog collar. Now, this dog, well-trained. I say, come. When he's a puppy, he's there, all wags, all eager. He's focused. He knows treats. And I could say, come, and he would come. That ball, come. He's now 14 years old. He's on the grass. He's got his ball. He can play football really well. He'll tackle you down, Joel, and he'll win. He wins with all the students. They're all frightened of kicking his head in, and he just goes and grabs the ball, and he'll kick it literally into turf. But now he's older and wiser. Come, Dibley. What's the deal here? Is it going to be worth it? Can I be bothered to get up? You come get me. If you want the ball, you come here. And how many of you know the conversation I'm talking about? And I'm not meaning to be rude, but some of us become like old dogs. And Jesus says, come. And we're just sussing him out. In our early days, when Jesus said, come, if you're hungry, come. Come, I'll fill you. We're running. And then we said, we get older and wiser, or maybe skeptical. And we cross our arms, oh, let the young ones do it. Been there, done that. And Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you. He's asking us to make some intentional decisions to move. He's asking us to change schedules. He's actively calling, come. And I believe many of us have got mature, inverted commas, and begun to filter this cry, this hunger that says, come on, come, I'm calling you, come. We've learned how to distract it. Sometimes we've even learned how to remodel it. No, God, I'm calling you to come. Dibley's good at that. No, you move. You come get the ball if you want it. I'm not getting it. And we stay where we are. God, come to me. God, sort it out. God, come. And God's saying, no, come to me. It's a disconnect, move, season. All through the Bible, this word come is there. Did you know? It's there 1,379 times. Come. The Song of Songs is full of come away. Come on, disconnect. Come away. Reload. Relook at your perspective. If you're going to be in the right place at the right time doing a right thing, we have to come. Revelation 22. Suddenly the bride and heaven are in alignment. And together they cry, come. So I wonder if you can hear that agitation in your heart. You see, sometimes the frustration we're feeling, sometimes the isolation we're feeling, sometimes the loneliness we're feeling is because God's moved, but we won't. We began to feel, well, it doesn't feel like it used to. But Jesus is in the house and he's saying, will you just come? So let's carry on with the verse. Then Jesus said, come to me. Next slide. All of you who are and. You see, Jesus sees the distress. Jesus sees what you're carrying. And so often we say, Jesus, come help me. And he's saying, no, come to me. This is a reset and recalibrate time. He's asking you to disconnect so that you can reset, realign, and recalibrate your life. God spoke to me so clearly. He said, 2019 is a year of preparation. You know, as prophets, we often have little ditties. You know, 2007, you're going to heaven. 2008, he'll open the gate. And you have all these sort of things that go. And 2019, beep. People have not made a lot about 2019. You Google it. Why? Because there's a sense, get ready, disconnect, reposition, get aligned. And God spoke to me, and I believe one of the reasons I'm standing here in your precious city, in your precious house, is 2019 is a preparation year for 2020, a new decade. God is getting ready to kickstart you into 2020. And it will be a season of harvest. And it will require risk. You've got comfortable. We've all got used to it. And Jesus is saying, come to me. Reset, recalibrate. It requires us to declutter to get our life sharp again. You see, I believe God is asking you... Examine the season of your soul. Examine the season of your life. Where are you on your satisfied? Where are you on your loneliness? Where are you on your passion? Where are you? Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Be honest with yourself and with your life. What are the things in your life that are not just challenges that you know you've got to fight the good fight and go through, but actually they've become a burden and wearisome? Have you begun to recognize in your life those things that are actually more of a weight than a joy? Do you need to resculpture actually what you're giving your life to? Are you playing to your strengths, or are you allowing your weaknesses to dominate your horizon? How many of you understand what I'm saying right here? You see, Jesus says, come to me, because many of you are living in a season of being overwhelmed, burdened, weary. You need to come. You see, I believe 2019 is a season to declutter. How many of you like to hoard? Oh, no one's very good at confessing in this church. How many of you like to get rid of it? I'm a get rid of it. Gordon is a piles man. I said they have a cream to sort that, I believe. He said, no, they're all nice piles. I said, I don't like piles. But some of us, we begin to clutter. And for me, I'm someone who likes to get rid of stuff. But suddenly God begins to say, actually, you've got a lot of clutter in your yard. And we become sentimental. But 2019... is a year to declutter, to make room for the new. God wants to kickstart for the 2020 decade. God spoke to me so clearly, woke me up, and he said the 2020 decade is going to be a decade of opportunity in the 21st century, just as the 1960s were a memorable decade of the 20th century. The 1960s shaped culture. How many of you can feel that there is a massive cultural shift and shaping happening across our nations, Canada, America, and Western Europe? But you see, in the midst is an opportunity. And where's the church going to be this time? Are we going to be the silent, overwhelmed, discouraged people. Oh, we're going to stand up with a new cry, a new hope. And as I have the privilege of traveling nation after nation, city after city, I think we did it. I was in 19 nations last year, 47 cities in the UK. I've forgotten how many across Europe. I see all over the world, Jesus has got incredible people ready to kickstart the Jesus message from nation to nation, church to church. But not when we sit down, it's when we stand up and we come. We've got to declutter. We've got to understand the seasons. In the natural, we see winter, spring, harvest. And even in the harvest time, we're having to prune, cut back to get ready for the next growth. You see, Leviticus 26 puts it like this. I will look on you with favor. Just imagine, Joel, please stand. This is the word of the Lord. And he comes to you and he said, Joel, I'm going to look on you with great favor. I'm going to make you so fruitful. I'm going to increase all your numbers. I'm going to keep every covenantal prophetic word in your life, in your legacy, in your church, in your city. I am going to do this for you. You go, yay, God, this is going to be awesome. Then he goes, but you've got too used to sitting down, eating the harvest of yesterday. You've got so used to all the good stuff, and you just eat, and you're satisfied with that. But Joel, if you're going to receive the next season of the new favor, the new increase, the new harvest, you have to get rid of it. Risk to make room for the new. Thank you. You see, we have to declutter. I don't like it when God touches my stuff. I'm very happy in helping Gordon get rid of his stuff. How many of you know what I'm talking about? My clutter isn't clutter. His old sweater that he's had since he was born. But what about mine? Oh, no, but that's useful. You see, I believe it's time to shut some doors. Come to me, all you who weary and heavy laden. You're carrying stuff that Jesus doesn't want you to carry in this season. And for you to step forward into the new day, you have to let go to grow. Time to shut some doors. We know this scripture. Come on, read it with me. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. 1, 2, 3. I am... and the Omega, says the Lord God, who and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You see, beginnings and endings are part of life. Is that true? And he is the God who holds beginnings. And most of us, especially in church, especially when we're prophetic, we love the God of the startup. We love the prophet when it comes and says, oh, wow, God is going to do a new thing. Your business is going to turn around. God's going to open new doors. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And in the Christian world, we're so excited about the new thing, the breakthrough, the new ideas. We love the God of Alpha. But guess what, Harvest City? Guess what, Regina? Saskatchewan, Canada. I believe that God is the God of Omega too. And I believe that God is the God who shuts doors. And suddenly there is an Omega. And even when we die, we're not best prepared for it. And so we have this idea that God is the God of Alpha, and he starts up all sorts of things, and the only Omega we ever talk about is the going to heaven. But how many of you know that there are seasons in your life when doors shut? Isaiah 22:22. I am the God who opens doors that no man can shut. I am the God who shuts doors. Do you like that God? The God who suddenly shuts doors. And sometimes it's circumstances that are hard. Sometimes it's betrayal. Sometimes it's redundancy. Sometimes it's things we don't accept. And suddenly, bam, I'm the God of Alpha and I am the God of Omega. And I believe in this season, Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. There's this change of season. I'm preparing you for a kickstart, for a whole new day. But you're going to have to navigate some shut doors, declutter, let go for a new day. And then this scripture goes on. Jesus said, come to me, all who you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you, carry on reading with me, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come, says Jesus. I'm going to take and help you declutter. I'm going to help you refocus, realign. I'm going to teach you the God of the seasons that shuts doors. And you see, when God shuts a door, then we walk through the wilderness. Jesus cried on the cross, it is Omega, it is, went into the grave. 3 days later, Alpha, resurrection life. You see, we have to go through some Omega times to come through to a new Alpha. And some of what you're grappling with, and this is what I felt, some of what is not making sense to you right now is because you are encountering the face of Omega God, who's good and kind and gracious, before you see the God of the next Alpha breakthrough of a new day. And I will give you rest. You see, rest comes from carrying the correct yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Rest comes from carrying the correct yoke. Next slide, please. I don't know what you think about when you think yoke, but I was with a Jewish rabbi. And we were talking about this scripture, and he says, actually, there are two yokes which were traditional at that time in Israeli life. Obviously, the yoke that yoked two oxen. But there was another yoke which a man carried, which was crafted by a carpenter. Jesus' trade was a... And so, you see, when Jesus is preaching this, it might have had a different level to the people in his audience. He was the carpenter. He was known as the woodsman, the crafter. And one of the main things carpenters made in those days was not furniture, it was yokes out of wood. And when you were a young man and you went to farm, they didn't have the massive irrigation processes that Israel has today. They had men with a yoke and they carried water. And so a young man would go to the carpenter when he was of age to begin to work in the fields, and he was crafted a yoke to fit his shoulders. And if that yoke was crafted correctly, it would distribute the weight of the water so that it didn't chafe his neck, and those cups would fit perfectly on his shoulders. I've actually got one at home, but I couldn't bring it. And it is quite incredible. Those cups fit the shoulders and distribute the weight of the bucket so it doesn't hurt. His burden is easy and light. But you see, what began to happen is when you began to work out in the field and your muscle tone and your body mass changed and your shoulders grew because of the physical labor in that vineyard and that work, suddenly the yoke got heavy. Because it was chafing and your muscle structure was different. So when you carried the burdens, they didn't sit right anymore. And so you were called back to the carpenter. Jesus says, come to me. Let me recraft the yoke. Let me recraft that which I've designated you to carry in these days. Let me remodel it. It's not because you've done bad that you're feeling the burden. It's because you've worked hard. Do you understand what I'm saying? So often we beat ourselves up. We've been laboring in the vineyard, and actually we've grown our spiritual muscles. We've changed our physique. We've changed what we're called to do. And Jesus is saying, come to me. Because the load's shifted. You're feeling weary and heavy laden. It's a new season. There's a new dimension. This is an omega. Some things need to close. Other things need to open for you. I need to recraft your yoke. Come. You know, when I heard, I've amplified it spiritually from a very simple discourse with the rabbi. But how many of you can see what I'm saying? And I feel that Jesus is saying to you, come to me. Because some of you have outgrown the tasks that you're doing. Dear Andy and Emma, I think it was, you are being stewarding the youth of this church. And you feel that yoke is not fitting like it used to. It isn't right. It isn't because you've done a bad job. It's because you've done an excellent job. And actually there's an omega season and God is saying, let's shut that door. But I'm going to put you through a little season. And then Alpha, another place will open for you. And I will craft a yoke for you so that you carry the water of God into more fields, more places, greater increase for the call of God. Come to me. But so often we feel shy. We just keep carrying it. It burdens us, chafes us. We get grumpy, irritable, and we lose grace. And Jesus is here in the house today. He says, come on, come to me. And then he goes on and he says, take my yoke upon me. Let me teach you. He wants to teach you the life skills. He wants you to teach you the attitudes that are going to help you carry this without pressure. He said, learn humility. What's humility? It's a quality of having a correct understanding of your position and importance. Humility is having that modest understanding of who you are. Humility doesn't keep you down. As we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he lifts us up. And he said, I'm going to teach you gentleness. A quality of being kind, tender, mild manner. We don't have to push and strive to make it happen. It's not all about us. He's going to make it fit. He's going to make it easy. And then he says, come on, I'm going to teach you life skills. I'm going to teach you the life skills of humility and gentleness. And then you will find rest for your souls. What is rest? A change of rhythm. A stopping from intense work or movement. In order to relax, sleep, take time to recover strength. To grow in health and grow in well-being. That is the spiritual word of that. You see, Jesus wants you, body, soul, mind, spirit, being. Rest. Come on, just pray this with me. Father, today, I pray you will teach me a change of rhythm, a stopping of intense work that causes me burden. Teach me to relax, sleep, recover strength, find health and well-being. Let me do life well. In Jesus' name. And Jesus says, I will teach you. Isn't that wonderful? If you'll lean into God, he says, let me teach you. I will teach you how to find rest for your soul. There's two scriptures. Psalm 31:7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. Jesus says, come on, come. You will find rest. Come to Jesus. He cares for you. He wants to refit the yoke. In every change of season, change of responsibility, he's got a yoke that perfectly fits you so you can carry it without pain. And then Psalm 19:7, for the instructions of the Lord are perfect. They revive your soul. The decrees of God are trustworthy. They make wise the simple. You see, as you come to him, he revives you, wakes it up. And it was so funny, as I woke up this morning, I just felt, come on, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. And then I thought, Joel Wells, Angela Wells, David Wells. And I thought, come on, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Spring, everything. Through the family line, the house line, this place. You know, God wants to revive, wake it up, renew it. For Jesus says to you, come to me. All of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you a gift of rest. Come on, take my yoke for this season upon you. Let me teach you how to carry a yoke. I'll teach you the humility and gentleness so that you can really find a sweet spot of rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear. And every burden I give to you is light. Come on, let's read it one more time. For my yoke is easy to bear. And the burden I gift to you is light. You know, I was just praying one day, just recently, as I was preparing for this, and God spoke to me so clearly and said, Rachel, you need to change the religious perspective that so many people have had, that working for God is always hard work. How many have had that expectation? It is just hard work. Beaver down, get on with it. And I felt God say to me, actually, I want you to learn a new yoking with me. I want you to learn a new rhythm with me. I'm 59 years old, mother of two, granny of six, husband of Gordon, who's very hard work, as you heard earlier. No, God and Gordon have been the greatest joy of my life. But I have just felt Jesus more and more just say, just lean in, Rachel. Lean in. If I had one word for this house when I came, it was that God wants to break isolation, loneliness, feeling of being overwhelmed, put your heads up and your shoulders back, and restore joy to the house. He wants to put that just naughtiness, yay, happy, delighted. And everything that the enemy has tried to downsize by just bringing issues, he says, come on, come to me. I wonder if you could just stand as I just read this final word over you. And if there's a musician, that would be great. But I just felt this word. It was a word that Cindy Jacobs sent to me a little while ago. And as I read it, I've sculptured it a little bit. But as I read it, I began to feel that God wanted to speak over you. God just said, come on, precious Harbor City House. I want to encourage you. Some of you have gone through a tough season and you've just felt, oh, well, this is life. I just need to grit it, suck it up, get on with it. But I feel God has sent me here today to say, I've come to take the load. Jesus says, I've come to make it easy and light. If Andrew's around, do come and just help me. And this is the word that Cindy Jacobs gave, which I've crafted a little bit, but most of it is what she just said. She said, Rachel, I was praying and asking God what he wanted to give me to encourage you. And then she went on to write, She said so many things that are discouraging. And I felt this almost for this house, that the enemy has wanted to whip up a storm. But in the midst of the storm, it's like Jesus came on the water to Peter and he says, come to me, come, come. So many of you are experiencing discouraging things. And you need encouragement. And this is what I hear the word of the Lord say. You are a winner, not a loser. And the Lord would say to you, so many things have come to beat against you. Things have come specifically to target your emotions. And for many people, it has made you feel pressed down. On the outside, you've managed to look good. And on, you'll be able to say, oh, praise the Lord, it's okay, I'm coping. But on the inside, you felt wounded and bruised. But the Lord says, I know you're hurting. And I'm working on your situations. Today, I tell you that I am the behind-the-scenes God. Many times you have thought, I'm not doing anything about it. You began to think, I don't really care. But the truth is, I love you. I really, really love you. And the Lord would say in this season, the truth is, the mountains of burden are going to move. Everything that stood against you, it will move. And my desire is to build you up. Put my hand in your back. Make you a success where you've lacked. For even as a good, good earthly father would always be looking for how can I bless you. So I am intentionally looking to bless you. My nature is to give. I cannot help myself but give. I gave you my son and I continue to giving. I am working on all the challenges that you are facing. I am working to help you financially. I am working to help you emotionally. And the Lord would say, when you cry out and you come, I will hear you. When you cry out, I will listen. I will listen to your prayers and tears. I'm listening to the cry for your family, for your children. I will listen to your prayers for those who are lost. I'm listening to the prayers for your health. For God has sent me to bless you. And his word to you today is you are a winner, not a loser. Do not be overwhelmed. So I don't know where you are, but I want to open the altar area. In our church in Oxford, it's rare for us to see such a big space without loads of people with their hands up just pressing into God. You're fortunate to have such a great space. But Jesus is saying, come, come, come. All through the songs, you are my hope, and I trust in you. Some of you know you've got to shut some doors. How many of you just know that you've been wrestling with some doors, and you had a little eureka moment? You just give me a wave. You're just saying, I got something. I've begun to realize I've got to shut some doors and not let it overwhelm me. How many of you feel that Jesus wants to refit a yoke? You've been carrying stuff all wrong and you just need to let Jesus teach you. So come. Come to Jesus. Just come to him right now. Come. And if you can't get up the front, get to the sides. I don't mind where you go, but I am asking you that you move. Don't be like my dog with his ball and just say, hard luck, mum, I'm old now, you come get the ball. No, you find a space in the presence of God. And we come. And I want you to come to Jesus very, very intentionally to this precious, precious Son of God, Son of Man. Because he's calling you, come. 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 God bless you. Just find some space all over the house. Just sing to him. Pray to him. You break that sound barrier. Make a noise in the house to Jesus. Just tell him, I'm coming, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. You could break the sound barrier. Just pray like you would sing. Let him hear your cry. The Bible says, bring with you words. I can't pray your prayer. You call on God and say, God, this is why I'm here. This is what I need. Will you help me, Lord? Will you teach me more? I need help in time of trouble. There's one thing I need to do. If you're here in this building today and you have never really let go and given Jesus 100% of your life, then this crazy girl from Oxford with a strange accent is here to say, this is your time, this is your space at 11:23, and I don't know what the date is. Is it 28th or 27th? I've been flying, who cares? But Jesus is here for you. And you see, Jesus wants you to let go and come. Some of you have been in a bit of a mess and you've been saying, God, come help me. God, come find me. God, come to me. God, I need. And actually, Jesus is standing here and he said, no, come to me. All you who are weary, come to me. And Jesus is loving you. He's like that dad in the story of the prodigal. He's standing in a space and he's willing you, come on, get up out of the mess. Get up out of the mistakes and come to me. And I will make all things new. And it takes courage. Some of you have given your life to Jesus, but if you're really honest with God right now, right here, you know you're doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you've lost that vibrant 24/7 relationship with Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. You need to absolutely let go and throw yourself into the goodness of God. And he is the turnaround God. Wherever you are in this space and place, before I pray for the rest, we're going to make a little space right here. And just as in Jesus' day, it's a little bit hard, I know, but I want you to press through the crowd and find him. Because he's going to turn your life around. I believe God just stopped me and he said, don't pray for the rest until you've given the opportunity for people to come back to Jesus or give their life to Jesus once and for all. So right here, right where I am, if you know that's you, press through. Just come and find me right here. If you could just step back a bit, those that are here. You know if you're needing to step into God because you've been making poor choices. I want to make this space right here. You just come wherever you are. And we're going to dedicate this ground as a rededication. Come, sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you. Just let people through if you can feel them moving because they're coming to Jesus. Just come right now. Come stand. You know, only you know what you've been doing with your life and your free time. And if you're saying, no, God, I want to reverse it, just come. Thank you. Come, let them through. There's people coming. Just come and bow down before him. Come right over. God just said there were some young men here. And you know you've just got caught up and it's got very confused and you've got very pressed out. Thank you. Just come right down here and just bow down here before Jesus and just tell him, I'm yours, all I have is yours. Come press him right here, sweetie, if you're coming. Just come in, make space, push back the rest of you, but we're making space for Jesus. Come, you can come around this side. Just come. I'm yours, yours, God. Everything I have and everything I am, I'm yours, God. Anyone else? Just come running. Come running. Yes, sir. Come through. Just let him through. Just come right through. Just come. Just kneel with these ones. Is there anyone else at the back of the house? We've got time to wait for you. Ooh, come. Just keep pressing through. It's fine. And it's great if you cry. Don't worry. I'm the biggest crybaby in the world. Is there anyone else say, wait for me, Rachel? Or we done? You know, precious son, God's got a call in your life. And you've been so confused by the shut doors that it's just like, I can't cope. I'm going to make my own way. But God just says, see what you've done today. Got a hold of you. I'm going to help you. Right across here. Can we make a declaration? All of you who are kneeling down here and you're just saying, I need you, God. I can see it on your life. It matters to you right now, doesn't it? Yeah. And you know what? God says it matters to me far more. God says it matters to me more than you can ever understand, because he dreamed of you.
It's all about
you. Oh, you're crafted in the hand of your God. Delightful and loved, purposed and called, oh, he loves you. Just wait. Oh, he loves you. So let's just say this together right here, right now. All of us across the house. Father, today,
I give you my life. I give you my life.
I'm sorry. For the wrong choices.
I have made.
Please forgive me.
Forgive me.
I want to invite you, Jesus,
to
come into my world. And help me live life well. Body.
Soul.
Mind.
Emotions.
Teach me
to live your life.
I take off the burden. And I receive your gift. And it's easy.
And light.
So I want you to stand. I'm sure your knees will be grateful to just stand where you are. And as you stand up, I want you to stand. And if you're comfortable, just lift your hands to Jesus, a sign. This is a new day. And I'm taking off the burdens. And it's going to be light. It's all breaking off. I want you to imagine you're putting your hands right through all that stuff. And you're creating space. And just see Jesus. Let him come to you right now. Let him come. That's right. Let him come right now. Fill every empty place. Just let him fill you with the presence of his goodness.